And now join me in welcoming our 15-minute speaker, all the way from Napomo, Johnny O.
Johnny O. Coley. This would be 10 minutes. Somebody changed the rules. I'm grateful to be here, and I'm a member of the Five Cities group, Alcoholics Anonymous. I've been a member for 35 years in that group, and I've been sent there for over 50 years. So 1964 is when I started getting sent here in this area to Alcoholics Anonymous. At that time, there was only one group, and so that's where I got sent to. It's amazing when I finally made it here after 18 years. I never remembered I'd ever been in AA or at AA. So several people in our group are still there that were there then. So it was pretty neat. I'd listen to them and I'd say, well, I've been there. I've been there. I went to that one. So I've only been a member for the 35 years, and I'm very grateful for that. I was a dangerous type person when I was younger here. Town had a bad reputation. I got shot in a bar right down the street here. It's Los Barrios store now. Back then there was a bar and a little store, and got in a fight with a bunch of guys over a pool game. A quarter, I think it was, and my quarter, I know about it. And guy went out, it was a big fight, a bunch of guys. He went outside and started shooting with a rifle through the windows, and the windows were broke out there for a lot of years. They took me to a hospital in Santa Maria, and I ended up leaving that hospital. Had a friend that was there with me, and he took me to the Ranchero in Santa Maria. And I had real long hair at that time, and I had blood matted all over my back and everywhere. And I remember people saying, I thought they killed you tonight. I said, nah, they can't kill me. That's the way I lived my life here for many years in this area. I'm the type that would go to jail, and they would they'd take you and strip your clothes off after you gave them a bad time for a while. And then they'd spray me with an inch and a half water hose and spray you all around on the cement. And your head would bang off the different cells. And these guys would stand back there and say, hey, how you doing? And then they'd shoot you to another one. And I don't know how many times you wake up all sore wondering what happened. So, you know, I got tired. I ended up with, Dave keeps reminding me, I said 16 and sometimes 17 drunk drivings before I finally got here. And all of those were driving without a license. My license were taken for life. And I wasn't ever supposed to get them back. So I came here and I went to court, and a lady that was in our group wrote a letter, and I had 6 months sober when I went to court, involved in AA every single day. I took that letter and handed it to the attorney and stood out in the hallway. And the Funky Blue, who's running for judge here now, I went and talked to him earlier, and he says, I can't do anything for you. You can give me $5,000 retainer. You're going to do the 10 years. There's no way I can get you out of it. So I gave it all up and went, showed up in court, and took that letter. It's all I had. Handed it to him. He went in, talked to the judge, came back out and said, judge said you don't belong here anymore. Whatever you're doing, go keep doing it. He gave me a small fine added some more on to my old probation that I had there, and told me to go home. And I haven't been back since. So, you know, I look at that, and I had my cigarettes and my toothpaste and all that stuff with me to go. And I knew I was going to do a long time. I had a bad record. And I remember I came back to my little group, and I said, they sent me home. They said, we knew that. Why didn't you tell me? Jesus. I had a tough week. So that's the way things have gone. I've been able to raise a granddaughter as a single grandpa here. And, you know, when it came time for that to happen, I had a good, clean record. I had been in AA for several years, and I was ready. And I went down and picked her up in Oceano and took her home with me and raised her. And she's 28 now. She got her own job at 18 and moved out with her friends, and she's done a good life. But she always remembers the women in AA that talked to her. They always talked to her and talked about honesty and different things. So she had a lot of friends there. That was the old Strawberry Patch and Ray Grandy. And I was a manager of that for a couple of years. I lost a job I had at Unical for 25 years. I finally made superintendent, and it was doing well. The whole crew that I worked for all those years retired or got booted out of there. So they had all these new young guys come in, and engineers took over the plant pretty much. And one day, the owner of the company, well, the president of our division came, and I thought that they were going to give me a promotion that day, because he was there the week before, and he said, you're doing great, you're doing really good. So when I seen him come in that day, and he went down to Unical offices and didn't come to my office, and I thought, man, this is going to be good. And he comes back and he said, let's go to lunch. And I said, oh yeah, that's a good lunch is always good. I mean, they're not going to take you to lunch and do something bad, are they? And so we went down here, Ray Grandy, to McClintock's, and he said, I'm going to have to let you go. We got this other guy we want to put in that position, and so we're going to have to let you go after 25 years there. And I can remember this guy drove me home in my truck. He told me to give the guy the keys, and so he drove me home. It was a pretty quiet conversation on the way home. I'm kind of glad of that. I don't think I could have took too much at that time. But, you know, I walked through that and came out the other side. I ended up the manager of the Strawberry Patch, Alano Club, and that was the best 2 years that I had in my life. All the people that came in through that time, my granddaughter was there with me all the time, and I made a lot of close friends. So, you know, if I would have tried to plan my life better, it was 49 years old when the next year I ended up leaving my marriage of 38 years and started a whole different life. I was living in an old beat-up motorhome in somebody's backyard, and that's how I started over at 49. And things just kept working out. Every day, something would work out. And so don't count things out. I remember the day they were closing the Alano Club, and they gave us a call and said, we got to close up, because you guys got to move. We're going to put an auto parts store in there. And my next call within the hour was a guy called and said, hey, I got a job for you up at the refinery in San Francisco. If you want to come on up, you can go to work this next week. And I had been in the refinery so long that they put me in safety. And I went up there and I was making about five times the money and about five times the easier work. So you know, it all just came about. Every single day, everything had just came about. So don't give up. Things sometimes look like they're falling apart and they're falling together. I could not have drawn a better plan out for my life than what's happened to me through these last years. I ended up in my own house there in Napomo. I walked away from the one over here in Oceano. I left the house, the car, the everything, and took off out of there. And I never went back. I never looked back. And so I'm grateful. For the 38 years, I used to, when I was drinking, I would leave. And I would come back in the middle of the night. And she'd say, "You don't live here." So we didn't have any keys to the house, and so I'd just go on in the house, and I'd forget I didn't live there. So finally, I remembered I didn't live there. And after the cops came a few times, so you know, I look back, my past has became my greatest asset. The guys told me that when I first got here. That one day, all your past, everything you've done, things that have happened, are going to become an asset. And I can look, and the people that I've worked with, guys out of jails and prisons and different things through the years, my story has helped them with something that they have gone through or maybe going to go through. So I went through mostly all the yets. I've been shot, been stabbed many times, I've been beat with tire irons and pull sticks. And I've been in the hospital where nobody could recognize me, and head that big. And I needed to go through those things to get here. It took every single bit of it. I'm glad I didn't miss one thing that it took me to get here into Alcoholics Anonymous, to surrender. Now, being sent here for all those years, I never heard anything. After I was here for a while and listening to these guys talk, I started remembering things, and then I remembered that I used to go into AA and I'd sing to myself when people would talk. I was scared to death that something was going to work, and I was scared I was going to not want to drink, and yeah, I could not handle that. I remember I heard something one time, and I went home, and I told my wife I was all happy and really heard something great, and she said, "I don't want to hear all that crap." So I grabbed a beer and went out and started working on my boat, and that was it. That was when my heyday in AA, so you can hear something maybe one time. If you don't follow through, you know, it just doesn't work. So I've stayed. I've been with this group. We've made 8 moves now since I've been with the group. We're up on the hill there now. And some of the same people, like I said, are still there that were there when I first started going to Alcoholics Anonymous. I've been through the Second Chance program here twice. They finally just kicked me out of it. And after 7 years, I got my driver's license back. My boss had said he wanted to make me a foreman and needed me to drive a company car. So he went to the DMV judge and talked to them. And the judge gave me a chance. And I've had the license ever since with insurance and the whole thing and haven't had a ticket. So I changed. This program changed me. So couldn't go back. I remember the judge calling me an animal one day. He told me to come up here. And, you know, it's not nice when you walk in and sit way in the back row, like a room like this. And you sit way back in the back, And he said, "Johnny, get up here. What's he in here for? Let me see his paperwork." And calling me by my first name. Then he called me an animal. So I'm telling the DA, "I'm going to sue this guy. Slander." He's slandering me. I said, "You better be quiet or you're going to be gone for a long time." So I'm glad I got all that behind me. I went to court once with my son after sober about 8 years in Grover, and I sat in the audience, and Judge Johnson was there, and he got up and walked over where I was sitting and said, "Where you been?" I said, "I got sober." He said, "God, I thought you probably had to die because I haven't seen you in here." And that felt pretty good. Felt pretty good. So if you're new, I hope you keep coming back here. Find the life that I found in Alcoholics Anonymous. I've never given up. I'm still at meetings mostly every single day. I go there trying to give something to a newcomer that has no hope. I remember running around without any hope, and just to get that little bit of hope that you can stay sober, you can have a good life sober, and that's what's happened in my life. I've got a good life, and I'm not done yet. I came at 36, I'm 72 now, and I'm very grateful. Nobody would have ever thought I would be here at 72 years old. I guarantee you that. But I am, and I'm grateful to be here, and I'm going to get off of here so she can have some time to talk.
One more for Johnny O.